Today we turn to 1 Thessalonians in chapter 5. Our church has just finished a 10-week sermon series on a passion for God. And we have 2 weeks before Easter Sunday. And here in Illinois, as most of you know, we're in the midst of a stay-at-home order by our governor to help flatten the curve and stop the spread of COVID-19. And today's sermon is a topical message that's going to emphasize that God is sovereign. And he is at work in our lives through our current circumstances. And this includes many things, one of which is the all-important topic of sanctification, which is being set apart to live our lives for God, to live holy, good, God-pleasing lives for him. And we'll unpack that as we go. And that brings us to the title of today's message, Sanctification Through Social Distancing. It's a title that my kids approved of. I sometimes have longer titles, so I was asked if that was all there was to it, but that's all that we get for today. Sanctification through social distancing. Social distancing is dominating much of our lives, where we are encouraged to keep a distance from one another socially, 6 feet or so. And as I mentioned also here in Illinois, we're under a stay-at-home order to stay at home, except for the essentials of what we need to do. And for some of us, that includes still going to work. Others are working from home and so forth. And for most of us, our current situation is probably challenging. And for many people, it might be economically threatening. And for some people, this is an issue of life and death. So today we're going to take a look at a few verses by the Apostle Paul, who's writing to Christians in Thessalonica. This is one of his first letters. And we're going to look at two verses that are actually a prayer by Paul. And we use them sometimes as a benediction and as a blessing. And I pray that God will use this prayer of Paul and this sermon being preached today to sanctify us and encourage us in light of the times that we're living in. And in this letter to the Thessalonians, Paul includes two pastoral prayers. One's at the end of chapter 3. I'll mention that during the sermon. And the other one is at the end of the letter here that we're going to start with. And both times, Paul is praying that the lives of the Thessalonian believers would be marked by holiness, that we would be sanctified, set apart for God, and that we would be found this way as the church here on earth at the second coming of Jesus Christ. And in the first prayer, there's an emphasis on the Lord making Christians increase and abound in our love for one another. And here in our passage, the emphasis is on the God who sanctifies us completely and keeps us blameless till the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So 1 Thessalonians 5, and we'll read verses 23 and 24 to begin with. And I forgot to be ready myself. Here we go. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. Let's pray. Father, we praise you as the God who calls us, who is faithful, the God who sanctifies us, sets us apart to live holy lives for you and your kingdom and glory, and to bless one another and reach out to our lost world. Father, we ask that you would use these words today to further sanctify us, that we would repent, that we would be encouraged, that we would be refreshed, that we would be empowered. May we hear you speaking. May we receive the work you're doing in us. In Jesus' name. Amen. First key point, our God is a sanctifying God. So live by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. To be sanctified means to be set apart. And in the Christian sense, it includes holiness, living good lives, holy lives, honorable character, lifestyles that please God, and not just that we're doing things right or doing good and living holy, but that our lives are set apart for God Himself and His glory and kingdom. Some people, when they have a special dinner and they invite people over, they might bring out their best china or their best placemats and so forth. Or sometimes if you're going to a special event, you have clothes that you wear that isn't for everyday use. Well, as Christians, God is calling us as His people to be set apart, to be sanctified, and that we would be used for a special purpose, and that's for God. Again, verse 23, Paul says, "Now may the God of peace Himself sanctify you completely." Notice Paul's emphasis here. God is the focus. God is the one who is acting. And he calls God the God of peace. Jesus is the Prince of Peace. We live in a world that's full of strife and division and exploitation and all kinds of evil. But our God is a God of peace. And our sin has separated us from God and causes division with one another. But God is a God who's bringing peace. He's also a God of judgment. But because He's a God of love and grace, He wants to bring peace. He wills to bring peace first. He's a God of peace. And this God of peace, Paul says, Himself will sanctify you completely. If you're a Christian, you and I, we have a part in our sanctification that must not be downplayed. We have things that we're supposed to do as Christians, reading scripture and prayer and fellowshipping and worship and loving our neighbors and all kinds of things that are part of sanctification, being set apart, becoming like Jesus. We have a part in this. But the main part is what God does, and that's Paul's focus here. And scripture is very consistent to always emphasize that the Christian faith and life is grounded in what God Himself is doing for us, and ultimately for His own glory. Christianity is always first, who is God? What has God done? What is God doing, and what will God do? And then what does God command? Christianity, the gospel message does not start with us. It starts with God. Who is God and what is He doing? Then what does He command and how shall we live? Christianity is Trinitarian. It is God-glorifying, Christ-centered, Spirit-empowered faith and life. And our God is a sanctifying God. If you're a Christian, God is at work in your life, sanctifying you. And if you're not a believer, the work that God is doing in Christians is offered to you if you put your faith in Jesus and follow Him as Lord. God is sanctifying His children. He's sanctifying us as families and as local churches. And this sanctification that God is doing, He is doing it in part right now through the spread of COVID-19 and through social distancing. This is part of how God is working. And the work that God is doing should manifest in us in an outward form in which His love and His gospel shine forth in this world, because as He sanctifies us and makes us more like Jesus, we are more of a blessing to the world around us. And part of how God is sanctifying us is by imposing social distancing upon us. And we may not like it, but God has a plan and He has a purpose. And for those of us who are in Christ, God is actively at work putting our sinful, self-centered, self-righteous, self-glorifying nature to death. And God is purifying the thoughts and the intents of our hearts. He's purging out the love of money and lust and pride and jealousy and bitterness and gossip and sinful tongues and slander and envy. He's purging out the tendency we have to live in fear or being ashamed of the gospel or living for self, living for pleasure, insisting on our own way, and on and on. And that is if we're receiving that work He is doing. Sometimes as God is sanctifying us, we resist it, and so we become the opposite of what's supposed to be happening. And it's my prayer today that through these words and the Spirit's work, that God would do a sanctifying work in us. And as I said last Sunday again, I've had to repent in writing this sermon and realizing how far I've fallen short. And if we don't see this sanctifying work, and in particular through what God is doing in social distancing and how our lives have been interrupted, and if we don't see it and embrace it, we're going to grow more impatient. We're going to try to just get through this time as fast as possible, and we're going to miss out on the sanctifying work that God wants to do in our lives. I'll put that another way. As Christians, our focus should not be how to simply entertain ourselves and get through this time. But rather, we should be thinking, among other things, how is God sanctifying me? How is God sanctifying us as families and us as local churches during this time of social distancing and so forth? And then on in verse 23, Paul also prays that your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Saying our whole spirit, soul, and body. That's another way of saying all that we are. Like when Jesus says to love the Lord our God with all our heart, soul, strength, and mind. And here, along with praying that God would sanctify us completely, Paul includes a prayer that this sanctification would last until Jesus returns. That we'd be kept blameless, holy, like Jesus, until he returns. And we may not be alive when Jesus returns. We may have already been promoted to glory. But that the church here on earth would be ready and found blameless, set apart for God when Jesus comes back for his bride. That's part of the purpose. Our God is a sanctifying God. So let us live by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. And the rest of today's message will be examples of that. But if you're someone who, if you are not a Christian or you're not sure, you can put your faith in Jesus Christ even as I'm preaching. Ask him to forgive your sin. Acknowledge that you believe that God the Father created this world through Christ. And that Jesus came and lived a human life about 2,000 years ago. He never sinned. He fulfilled the law that God had set up in the Old Testament. He did what God commanded him to do. He preached and he taught, speaking as God, not just about God. He loved sinners. He befriended his disciples and entrusted them and empowered them to carry on his work after he left here. He allowed himself to be arrested, falsely accused, and nailed on a cross between two thieves. He, through his death, appeased God's wrath. God is a loving God, but our sin angers him. Just like when we get angry about people sinning against us, God gets angry. And he would not be a righteous and just God if he let our sin go unpunished. And he has provided a way for us to be forgiven through the cross. And Jesus rose from the dead and appeared in his resurrected body to over 500 believers and then ascended up to heaven. And he reigns now. Acts chapter 1, Luke writes that the first book Luke wrote, what we call Luke, is what Jesus began to do. Jesus is still working, and one day he'll come back. Put your faith in Jesus Christ as Lord. And how we live that out? Well, we'll see that as we go through a few examples. The rest of this message. So first, God is a sanctifying God. Second, God is interrupting our lives. So let's rest, reflect, and reprioritize as needed. God is a sanctifying God. He's setting us apart for himself and to live lives of holiness and to love one another and to love our neighbors and our enemies. In these last few months, God has interrupted the lives of millions of people around the world on a global level. And there's a great need to reach out in love to serve others and to encourage one another and to help those that are on the front lines and who are working hard and risking their health and their lives. And I'll address a few thoughts about that as we go. And for many of us, our lives have been interrupted, but tragedy perhaps has not yet hit. Things are going to get worse before they get better in terms of the spread of COVID-19. This is not a gloom and doom message. It's not a fear-based message. Just looking on the reality of how this has happened and what medical professionals are telling us to prepare for. And it's important now to think deeply about our relationship with Christ and to see that God is interrupting our lives and to hear him speaking and to receive the work that he's doing in us. That sanctifying work. And God, among other things, is using social distancing as one of the means by which he is sanctifying us. Now, some of these points or examples I am giving in today's message might apply to you, and some may not. We are in different circumstances, different walks of life, so I'm trying to give some examples that will touch and be an encouragement, touch on all of us, be an encouragement to all of us. Some of us right now, maybe we're getting bored and impatient. Maybe we're lonely. Some people in their lives before COVID-19 hit might have been lonely. They live alone and so forth. Some of us have more downtime right now. Others might be working a lot harder, depending on your context or your job. These last few weeks for me and our family's been very busy. I'm hoping things will slow up a little bit, but each of us are in a different circumstance and setting. And for those who have some extra downtime right now, or maybe a lot of downtime, spend some time resting and reflecting. And even for those of us that might be busier, the little downtime that we might have might be very different. We're not hanging out with people. Some of us get very busy in life. And the amount of time that we spend seeking hard after God in prayer and in His Word and in fellowship. And this includes simply at times taking time to rest. Sometimes we neglect those things and all that takes a back seat. Because we live in a culture where there's so much affluence. It's an entertainment-obsessed, career-driven society that dominates our lives, and it rubs off on us even if we're not giving ourselves to those things. But God has interrupted all of that, in part through social distancing. And for those of us who can, rather than fighting it, let's spend some time and rest. God set up a 7-day week with a day of rest for us, for our good. In Mark chapter 6, listen to these words. Jesus said to them, to the disciples, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while. For many were coming and going, and they had no leisure even to eat. And they went away in the boat to a desolate place by themselves." Jesus and the disciples in this passage were working so hard they didn't even have time to rest. Jesus said, "Come away by yourselves to a desolate place and rest a while." Part of how God sanctifies us is ironically by having us rest. When we rest, we are saying, "God, I acknowledge my dependence on you. And physically, I am not all powerful. I need rest. You are all powerful. I am not. Less of me, more of you, Jesus." In our daily lives, in our family relationships, in our studies, in our jobs, in our ministries. We need rest. And having the discipline of rest helps guard us against a sinful, self-sufficient manner of life and of giving ourselves to loving all the things the world offers. There is a lot that God calls us to do and obey. One of those things is to rest. And sometimes God will bring about circumstances in our lives for us as individuals or families or on a national and global level to bring everything to a halt. Psalm 46, to the nations, God says, "Be still, cease striving, and know that I am God." And part of rest includes enjoying the goodness of God and what He has already done in us and for us and through us. And with this resting, let's also reflect. What are the priorities in our lives? Probably some of us have been doing that. Our lives have been interrupted, and it causes us to stop and think, what really is important, and are we giving our lives to those things? Are we setting our hearts on those things? It's easy for us to become obsessed with ourselves and our dreams and our agendas. And God is a God who blesses us with good things in life. But sometimes when those good things are interrupted, it causes us to pause and to reflect in how we're viewing those things. And something that's good in our life can become an idol. So maybe we need to reflect on our lives and so forth. Maybe we have our priorities in order, but God is impressing upon us how dependent we are on Him and how fragile we are. So let's reflect on our lives, and let's reflect on sanctification. In our current situation, it's easy to focus more on what we don't like than the sanctifying work that God is doing in our hearts and that we need done. It's easier to scrutinize or question the things that are being done by our leaders and so forth and overlook the work God wants to do in our hearts. Let's reflect. And with this rest and this reflection, we might need to reprioritize. So first, God is a sanctifying God. Second, God is interrupting our lives. Now third, God is exposing our self-indulgent individualism. So repent and lament as a loving fellowship in Christ. It's very hard for many of us living here in the United States to not end up self-indulgent in the pursuit of pleasure and entertainment and materialism and our overall worldly living. Even as Christians who are seeking to live holy lives and sacrificial and so forth, it's just we're in a culture where wealth and affluency and entertainment surrounds us. It's all over. Even for those of us living paycheck to paycheck, we're just compared to the poor around this world. We live in a very affluent situation. And for those of us that are believers in Christ, Jesus calls us to deny ourselves, take up our cross, and follow Him. And God is using social distancing to purify us of some of the things that hinder this embracing the cross way of life. And simply by having our lives interrupted, this is a problem for some of us. And we can spend more time complaining about what this interruption has done to our lives than we do responding to God and seeking to embrace the sanctifying work that He's doing. Overall, we are very individualistic in our worldview and our hearts as Americans. No one's going to tell me how to live, is how the attitude can be, even as Christians. But for those of us that are following Jesus, Jesus is the one who's to tell us how to live. He is Lord. You and I are not. And during this time of social distancing, we are being reminded of how connected we really are to one another. One person's actions can affect many. If you are spreading the coronavirus and so forth, it affects many people. Individual responsibility is very important. Some people neglect this and downplay that. But the gospel calls us to embrace both the individual, personal aspect of knowing Jesus and taking responsibility for our lives, to combine that with the emphasis on being the bride of Christ and living that out as local churches and as fellowship of believers, so that we are not lone rangers. We know Jesus personally, we're taking responsibility for our lives, but we also realize that we don't want an overly individualistic view of life. And during this time of social distancing, ironically, while we're spending less time with people, we're being reminded of how connected we are to one another. Part of the reason we're not spending time with people is because one person's actions affect many, and so forth. And unfortunately, some churches and some Christians can end up taking a very self-righteous, careless, self-indulgent, and self-serving response to COVID-19. Not staying at home, not abiding by our governing authorities and the medical professionals and the infectious disease specialists that God has placed over us, and putting their own people in their churches and others at risk. And in the long term, it's adding to the crushing weight of work that our medical personnel have to do. So before we even think about the specifics of how our lives have been interrupted, for many of us, we need to stop and consider whether we are being open to being interrupted in the first place by God Himself. Our God is a sanctifying God, and part of the way He does that is by interrupting our lives. He reigns sovereign over COVID-19, sovereign over social distancing, and the decisions made by our governing authorities. Let's be interrupted with a sense of joy and anticipation about what God is doing in us, even as we sacrificially love and pray for those who are suffering and encouraging one another. And that's part of the point, to be sanctified so that we're better able to love and serve others. I have a friend that I'm Facebook friends with, Brian Bakke. Haven't seen him in years. When Gwen and I lived in Uptown on the north side of Chicago, him and his wife Lisa were part of Uptown Baptist Church. And they have devoted their lives in serving in cross-cultural contexts and serving the poor and so forth here in the States and in different parts in the world. And he had this post on Facebook yesterday. And he titled it, "A Thought-Provoking Quote by a Doctor in India." Social distancing is a privilege. It means you live in a house large enough to practice it. Hand washing is a privilege too. It means you have access to running water. Hand sanitizers are a privilege. It means you have money to buy them. Lockdowns are a privilege. It means you can afford to be at home. Sometimes when we view our lives in light of what the poor are experiencing, or those who are less fortunate, we realize how spoiled we are. Yes, our lives have been interrupted. And God, through this interruption, is exposing our self-indulgent individualism. So let's stay at home. If we need to go out and honor God as we do so. Let's practice social distancing while reaching out to others as we can. And let's do so with the joyful anticipation that God, among other things, is sanctifying us. He's making us more like Jesus. And he's causing us to rest and reflect and reprioritize. And as we do this, let's repent and lament as needed. Repentance means we have a change of heart, a change of mind. We turn away from our sin and to the Lord. And it includes a holy way of living. And repenting of our self-indulgent, individualistic hearts and worldview and our bad attitudes. And it means we're going to be more focused on holiness than we are how our lives are being disrupted and we don't like it. Also, lamenting. To lament means we are grieving. It can be grieving the loss of an opportunity or we're lamenting different things that we're grieved over. This includes grieving over our sin. In other words, when we repent, it's not just that we are turning away from our sin, but that we are feeling the sinfulness of our sin and how our sin has offended God and hurt others and ourselves. We repent and we lament. Let's rest. Let's reflect. Let's reprioritize, in part by repenting and lamenting. And as we do this, let's seek all the more to do this not only individually, but as a loving fellowship in Christ. I imagine that for some of us, when we are able to gather together again and have a worship service where we're coming together on Sundays, that we'll be less likely to take the ecclesia, the gathered together, being the gathered together church of God, we're less likely to take that for granted. I know sometimes we can get up on a Sunday morning and have a bad attitude about going to worship Jesus, as if somehow he's less worthy today than he was last Sunday. Probably some of us, the things that we're not able to do right now, maybe we appreciate those things a little bit more. And among other things, that includes that we are to be, as Christians, we are individually following Jesus, but also as local churches. To be a loving fellowship. And this is part of Paul's prayer earlier in chapter 3 that I alluded to. Chapter 3, verses 11 to 13. Paul says, "Now may God, our God and Father himself, and our Lord Jesus Christ direct our way to you. And may the Lord make you increase and abound in love for one another and for all as we do for you, so that he may establish your hearts blameless in holiness before our God and Father at the coming of our Lord Jesus with all his saints." I pray that for the people of Lake Region Bible Church. I pray that for those of you that might be watching outside of our church fellowship, that God would increase and abound our love for one another. And ironically, that he would do that work in our hearts even as we can't be together right now. So that when we are able to reconvene and come together again, we're going to do so with an increased love that's abounding in us. And we realize, maybe we're taking some of this for granted. So first, God is a sanctifying God. Second, God is interrupting our lives. Third, God is exposing our sinful, self-indulgent individualism. And fourth, God is shaking us out of our comfort zones. So live missionally as pilgrims in a fallen world. Along with God interrupting our lives and purifying us of our self-indulgent individualism, God is sanctifying us by shaking us out of our comfort zones. Having to practice social distancing is uncomfortable for many of us. I suppose if the character, I think his name is Ron Swanson from the TV show Parks and Rec, if he was a real person living now, he might love social distancing. He doesn't really like people. But for most of us, we don't like this. And this is a time, however, to be interrupted, to rest and reflect and reprioritize. This is a time to repent and lament over the sin of our self-indulgency and if we're too overly individualistic in our worldview and our hearts. And all of this is uncomfortable. God is shaking us up out of our comfort zones. And to some degree, that's exactly the point. Shaking us out of our comfort zones to sanctify us because he loves us. He does not want to leave us in our sin, and he wants to take us to the next level. He wants to raise our level of holiness. He wants to raise our sense of dependency on him. He wants to increase our love for one another. And of course, there's other things beyond social distancing that are uncomfortable in this current situation. For some of us, it might be a sense of security. The world as we know it, things are different. We're being confronted with things we haven't experienced before. Our sense of security with finances, our current plans, our future plans. A lot of things are up in the air, and this is tough. We need to encourage each other. We also need to receive that sanctifying work that God's doing. We're not in a comfort zone like we were collectively a month or so ago. And God is using this time to call us to a more wholehearted pilgrim way of life. The material things of this world and the security we find in ourselves and our money, and so forth. Or simply being at ease because we weren't living in a crisis. That's been disrupted. But our God is a sanctifying God who works all things for the good of those who love him. He is at work in you and me. It is his will that we live like sojourners and exiles, pilgrims and foreigners, bearing witness to the gospel and loving one another, loving our neighbors, loving our enemies. And to do this effectively, God is shaking us out of our comfort zones, out of our materialistic, worldly, self-indulgent, money-loving, no one tells me how to live mammon-trusting way of life. May we rest. May we reflect. May we reprioritize as needed. And let's do that through repenting and lamenting, and let's do it with joy. God's sanctifying work can be painful and unnerving, but he doesn't leave us there. It's for our good. It's for his kingdom and glory. And he's empowering us to live as pilgrims who courageously love our neighbors, who are spirit-empowered, bearing witness to the gospel, telling others the good news about King Jesus. And like I shared with you on our live stream the night before our governor issued the stay-at-home order, we're encouraging you to proactively reach out and call on your neighbor or others that you know. And I know some of you, and many of you perhaps, have been doing this already, especially calling on those that might live alone, neighbors and so forth, those facing specific needs or challenges, those who are on the front lines and so forth, encouraging them, serving at places like Luke 3:11 or helping out nursing homes and so forth with supplies, as some of you have been doing, messaging and calling people. And when we're not able to be physically present, doing what we can online and so forth, a message, a phone call, a video chat, and so forth. The virtual small groups that we're offering, to initiate those on your own, and so forth. Last point. Number five, our God is the faithful covenant-keeping God. So trust him as we wait for King Jesus to return. Back here in 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 23, Paul refers to God keeping us blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. And then verse 24, he who calls you is faithful. He will surely do it. God calls us to be sanctified. He calls us to the very thing he is doing. God is the one who sanctifies us, who sets us apart, who makes us more like Jesus, for himself and his glory, for our good, and for this lost world. And he sanctifies us by calling us to a holy life. And in other words, God calls us to be the kind of people he's already making us to be. His calling is in line with what he himself is doing. What God calls you and I to do, God is at work in us to bring about. Hallelujah. That's part of the good news of the gospel. As we become Christians and we realize how we're supposed to live, the Spirit of God is already at work in us, giving us the motivation to want to live that way to start with, and the power to do so. So I'm ending this sermon on this encouraging note. Our God is the faithful covenant-keeping God. The God who calls us to sanctification, is the God who's faithful to bring it about. And he will keep us blameless till the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. So let's trust him as we wait on Jesus to return, an active waiting. And right now it's a little unique. It's an active waiting lived out largely through social distancing. God is sanctifying us through social distancing. Our God is a God who's faithful. Hallelujah. He was faithful to Abraham and Sarah, even though they had to wait 25 years for the promised Isaac to be born. He was faithful to Joseph, who got sold into slavery by his brothers in Egypt. Faithful to his children Israel in the wilderness. Faithful to the prostitute Rahab. Faithful to Naomi and Ruth through Boaz. Faithful to Esther. Faithful to King David. Faithful to his children Israel living in Babylon in captivity for 70 years. Faithful to his Jewish people who were alive when the Messiah was born, living under the oppression of Rome. Faithful to see the good news going forth to the lost Gentile world. God so loved the world, he sent his son. Our God is a faithful, covenant-keeping God, and he is faithful right now amidst this COVID-19 situation when we're having to live out social distancing. So our God is a sanctifying God. Live by faith in our Lord Jesus Christ. God is interrupting our lives. Rest. Reflect. Reprioritize. God is exposing our self-indulgent individualism. Repent and lament as a loving fellowship of believers. God is shaking us out of our comfort zones. So live missionally as pilgrims in a fallen world. And God is our faithful covenant-keeping God. So let us trust him while we wait for King Jesus to return. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.